Our lesson for this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 17, and beginning with verse 15. But I would actually like to go back to verse 12 to begin and read as follows. And as he, that is Jesus, entered a certain village, there met him 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. And they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here ends our reading for this morning. Please be seated. It is a habit of professors to ask their students and advisees what they want to do when they graduate and what plans are they making for themselves. What would you like to be? I've asked that question for, 16 or 18 years, I guess. And listen then intently as students give the answers, and I love to hear their answers. Some are quite lofty, their goals for themselves, and others will say, well, I just want to get a job. I don't really care what I do, I just want to get a job. That, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, has been something I've heard more than before. But I've never heard anybody say this. Well, I'd like to be an embarrassment to my family. That's what I'd like to be when I grow up. I've never heard anybody say that. Some of us have done that, but we didn't plan it that way. That's not what we planned for our lives to be. Well, maybe Miley Cyrus, but nobody else plans for that. Anyway, I guess. Perhaps not even her. I've never heard someone say, I'd like to be a beggar. I've never heard one say, I'd like to be that guy in town. And it seems like in every small town there's a guy who's kind of odd. In some towns it's not a man, it's a woman, who's kind of odd, and when people look at that person, they turn away with disgust. That's who I want to be. I've never heard anybody say that. Nobody makes those kinds of plans, but sometimes life takes a direction that a person did not plan, that he never dreamed. That is the way it happened, no doubt, for these 10 men in our Bible lesson for this morning. They were busy with their lives, living their lives, each one in their own separate way, each one raising a family or doing whatever he was doing, working at his job. And one day, each one of them came in contact with a small, well, very small bacteria. These bacteria that cause leprosy grow very slowly, and so it was months before they even knew that they were infected. And can you just imagine these guys, when they first find the infection, I can just see myself trying to hide it. You could probably hide it for a couple of months. It grows that slowly. Of course, I can also see my wife saying, what's that? What's that? On your ear. Because this bacteria loves to infect the extremities first because it doesn't like the heat in the core of our body, and so it will grow in fingers first, and toes, and nose, and ears. And I can just see their wife, one of them, saying, well, what is that? How'd you get that sore? What'd you do to yourself? And the truth is, he didn't do anything to himself. The bacteria did it. Sooner or later, it shows up. And they try to hide it, but sooner or later, other people can see it. And on that day, when other people began to notice it, then they are forced to become an outcast. They're forced to move out on the edge of town, away from their family, and find whatever shack they can live in. Forced to beg for a living now, keeping a minimum of 10 to 12 feet away from anyone, never hugging their wife or children again, dying a slow, debilitating death. And if anyone begins to approach them, they're forced to yell out those, as long as they have a voice, yell out those pathetic words, or that one pathetic word, unclean, unclean. Their life has been reduced to a one-word description, unclean. The people who heard those words would either stop dead in their tracks or turn away and walk in another direction. As the disease progressed, so does the disfigurement, until sometimes they were considered revolting by other people. But there is at least one thing about leprosy that is a good thing. Because as it stole their health, as it stole their handsomeness, it also stole away their pretenses. The stigma took away all their pretenses, and they came face to face with reality, with what they really were at their core. What I mean is this disease had a way of showing you what otherwise it is so difficult to see. We think we're so strong. It doesn't take very much to make us sick. Something 2 micrometers long can make us sick. We're not as strong as we think we are. And we're not as clean as we think we are. That was what leprosy showed them. They were unclean, and everybody knew it. Sometimes we're the last to know just how unclean we are. I suppose, don't you, that they banded together. I guess misery loves company. That's the saying, and it's true. Misery loves company, and they banded together to comfort themselves with whatever comfort they could get. And I suppose that they must have heard that Jesus was traveling that way. And so when they saw him, they began to yell. But rather than yelling those familiar words, unclean, unclean, to Jesus they yelled, have mercy on us. Now, what an interesting reaction Jesus has compared to everybody else. He doesn't turn away in disgust when he sees them. He's not revolted in the least. He knew they were unclean all along. From eternity, he's known that they were unclean. And so he gives them a command. And the command is this: go show yourselves to the priest. What an unusual command. Go show yourselves to the priest. Well, it's not unusual in itself. That's what everybody was supposed to do. You see, occasionally a person would overcome, their immune system would overcome the disease of leprosy, and they were healed. And when that happened, which it just rarely did, but occasionally, when that happened, then they had to go see the priest, and the priest would then pronounce them clean, and they could rejoin the living. Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. And what's unusual about it is they're still diseased when he says it. I think there's a lesson here for us, by the way. Kind of a sidelight on this passage. And that lesson is, when God tells you something in his word, do it. Though you may not understand it, though you may not know why, though other people may tell you different, believe it. Believe what he says in his word. Trust him. Because as they are walking to see the high priest, somewhere along the way, we don't know how far it was, but somewhere along the way, they are healed. They are transformed from the walking dead, from unclean to clean. Can you imagine the jumping for joy now with these guys? They get to go back and see their kids and their wife again. They get to go back to their families. Ah, how wonderful that must have been. And so that's where we join the passage at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. This guy is instructive, I think, for us. It says he glorified God with a loud voice. This guy is yelling, isn't he? His praise to God. Well, wouldn't you? And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Can you detect, like I can, some disappointment when Jesus says that? Where are the 9? Kind of a mournful, plaintive question, isn't it? Were there not 10 cleansed? If there's anything that we can learn from this passage, it is that our Lord wants to be thanked by those whom he has helped. I think there's another word of application here. It has been said, I do not know if it's true, but it has been said that this generation of college-aged young people have very high expectations of other people, maybe to the point of being spoiled. I don't know if that's true of you, but I do know one thing. I know that no matter what generation you are from, if there is one thing that you and I need to do, it is cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. And this leper can teach us two steps to do that. And the first one is get to know yourself. Get to know, I don't mean really know your talents and abilities. College will help you do that, and you already know some of that already. That's not the kind of knowing yourself I'm talking about. But I mean get to know yourself at your core. See yourself the way God sees you, in light of his word. Because he sees it all. He sees your motives behind the comments you make. He knows the lies you've told. He sees the sinful desires that you've never carried out, but you would if you could and not get caught. He knows it all. He knows what you are at your core. And you know what that is? It is unclean. And so am I. That's the first step in cultivating a thankful heart. Examine yourself in the light of God's word. But there's a second step. First, get to know yourself. Second, get to know Jesus. It is a marvel, but he did not turn away in disgust at these revolting men. And he will not turn away from you in disgust. You say, well, sheesh, I've sinned an awful lot. I'm pretty unclean. He will not turn away in disgust from you. In fact, the scripture says he loves sinful people like you and me. He doesn't hide his eyes from you. And the Bible says he loves you so much that he took all of your sin and all of your filth upon himself, and he disposed of it. And when he did that, well, he did that when he went to the cross. And when he went to the cross, the way he was able to dispose of your sin was to take the punishment into his own body on the cross, the Bible says. And because of that, all of your sins have been washed away. Every single one. We said that this leper raised his voice, praised God with a loud voice. You and I will have an opportunity to do that in just a minute when we sing the final two verses of hymn number 65. But before we do that, would you open up your hymnal and stand and say with me the prayer that is found on page 161 in the forepart of our hymnal, page 161. And we will pray together. Collect number 105 at the bottom of the page, left-hand column. Page 161, 105. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who created all things, We thank you that you have given us sound bodies and have graciously preserved our tongues and other members from the power of the adversary. We beseech you, grant us your grace, that we may rightly use our ears and tongues. Help us to hear your word diligently and devoutly, and with our tongues so to praise and glorify your grace, that no one is offended by our words, but that all may be edified by them, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.